Before we dive into today's live conversation about the healthcare exchanges, I'm going to read to you a couple local and regional headlines. Voice, the local nonprofit that collected visions of Evansville from residents, has unveiled three main areas of interest from their workshops held around town. They are healthy green space, experiences, and city core. Those interested in helping with the healthy green space projects will meet on October 15th at the Old National Bank Atrium. Director Lynn Miller Pease says participants will be able to team up with other interested residents and start short-term and long-term projects around town. More information is online at evansvillevoice.com. Miller Pease says nearly 130 people have signed up to take part in three voice projects. A company backed by a Pakistani group has their sights set on Posey County for the construction of a $2.1 billion fertilizer plant. Midwest Fertilizer Corporation is seeking zoning approval from Posey County officials for a 219-acre site that is now farmland in an industrial area along the river just southwest of Mount Vernon. The project faced doubts after Governor Mike Pence pulled state support in January, citing concerns U.S. military officials had about fertilizer made by Pakistani-based parent company Fatima Group being used for explosives in Afghanistan. The plan is expected to create 2,500 construction jobs plus 200 permanent jobs. An unmarked cemetery found on the grounds of a former Evansville hospital is bigger than researchers first thought. WFIE-TV reports the old state hospital burial site was initially thought to hold 10 to 15 unmarked graves. City engineer Patrick Keep says archaeologists now report about 70 graves. The cemetery was found during research on a project to build a pedestrian bridge across the Lloyd Expressway. The Board of Public Works has approved moving the remains to Oak Hill Cemetery, and the plan is expected to be finalized before the end of the year. The bodies date from the early 1900s and are likely people who once lived in the old state hospital. Kentucky Governor Steve Beshear called the state's health exchange a national model. As of Tuesday, nearly 8,000 people were enrolled and more than 16,000 completed applications through the state's Connect website. Many states, as well as the federal government, have encountered problems with their exchange websites, such as excessive downtime and confusing interfaces. Beshear says this new accessibility to insurance will be a great benefit to more than 640,000 Kentuckians without coverage. And Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell's popularity is taking a dive due to the government shutdown, according to a Gallup survey released Thursday. The new figures come as McConnell's GOP primary challenger Matt Bevin is vying to gain the support of a key political organization in Northern Kentucky this week. Overall, Gallup finds McConnell's net approvals are down by 12 percentage points since Congress failed to pass a spending bill to keep federal services and programs running. Support for The Trend comes from members of the Local Programming Fund. I'm your host, Cass Harrington, and we are following up on our Affordable Care Act discussion from a few weeks ago with a special live segment today. I'm joined by several experts, and if you have questions regarding the exchanges online, any technical glitches you might be experiencing, you can give us a call here at 812-426-7400 or tweet the handle at The Trend Talks or at WNIN. But first, before we start the conversation, I am here with WNIN's fundraising officer, Rebecca Oates. And while we are having our conversation, she is going to actually be applying for health insurance coverage for the first time.
Yeah.
And Rebecca, so you're 24. And so what are you hoping to get out of this experience?
Well, being 24, I'm just briefly out of college for about a year and a half now. So I'm still on my parents' health insurance plan, which is great for someone my age just starting out, and taking on health insurance can be a huge responsibility. But now that I have my feet set and I have the ability to provide for myself and take care of myself, this is an opportunity for me to get health insurance at an affordable rate, not be affected by the high premium levels of other coworkers or things like that in the typical business setting, and really just go into a huge pot of people. So it's an opportunity for me to take on that responsibility on my own and come off of my parents' health insurance, which I think is a very exciting and worthwhile thing for a lot of people my age.
Well, we hope so. Yeah. But the government really does hope that younger people buy in on this, because essentially it's subsidizing older and more sicker patients. Mm-hmm. So, but it's interesting because there have been some technological glitches, and as a 20-something, we've grown up with technology and we're used to things working, or we expect that. So it'll be interesting, as you know, this conversation goes along, to hear your updates and see what happens for you. So, for our conversation, I am joined by Nibby Priest from Henderson, Kentucky. He manages his family-owned insurance agency, Vaughn Insurance, and he's also a registered insurance agent for Connect, the state health insurance marketplace. Thanks for joining me, Nibby.
Thank you, Cass. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I'm also here with Jamie Bruce, the Chief Development and Marketing Officer at MD Wise, which is based in Indianapolis, and it was established to help vulnerable populations needing healthcare coverage in Indiana. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, welcome. Thank you for coming here, Jamie. You both traveled pretty far to get here. So
thank you for having us.
Appreciate it. So, Nibby, I would like to start with you to get a sense of what's going on in Kentucky, because we've been hearing in national conversations that Kentucky is actually leading the charge in state exchanges. Is that right?
That is correct. The governor tweeted just yesterday that, as you pointed out in your news brief, that it is the gold star state for all the marketplaces around the country. Their expectations have been met and surpassed, the way I read and understand.
Yes. And so give us a sense of that. How many people logged on October 1st, and what have the responses been?
There's been a lot of people logged on, and the system took a little bit of a hit on the 1st, but they have recovered, and for the past couple of days when I've been logging on to help my clients, it's been online and staying up for me to get the information I need to give the people the information they need to make their buying decisions.
And what kind of information are they asking you about?
Well, it's very simple. In the Marketplace Connect, as we call it, there's basic information is all we need. There's 5 pieces of information: your name, your age, if you smoke or not, how many people are in your plan, and there's 5 pieces, and I've come up with 4. Your location, that's one of them.
That's all right. And so Kentucky, how many people were uninsured?
I don't have that information. Okay. I've really been been involved in trying to understand as much as I can about the program. I really haven't kept up with the statistics other than the fact that it's been quite popular. There's been lots of interest.
Mm-hmm. And well, so what kind of problems have come up as people are registering for the first time that you've been experiencing?
It's basically understanding the plans and knowing, you know, definitely the premiums do look a lot better, but what people need to keep in consideration is if they have existing insurance, is this actually a better plan for me? They might be have something better and paying a little bit more for it if they will evaluate both of their existing plans. And sometimes it might be better for them to stay on what they currently have.
Mm-hmm. So they might be initially looking at, this one's cheaper, but
exactly.
It's not necessarily
exactly.
The benefits.
Exactly. The co-pays could be different. The deductibles could be different. The providers that you use might have to change. So it's not something that we need to rush into and make a decision immediately. You need to evaluate your existing plan. Of course, those that don't have insurance now or haven't been able to afford insurance at all, this is definitely going to be something for them. But those that have existing insurance, they need to look carefully before they make a decision.
And Henderson in particular is kind of an interesting case, because some people see physicians in Evansville.
That is correct. And the way we understand it now, that Connect is basically the in-network is Kentucky. And a lot of people in the Henderson area go to Evansville for their provider. And the way we see it today, Evansville doctors are not in network. They're considered out of network, and they're going to be paying more for their services where they might be on an existing plan, and it's considered in network. So that's something you need to be checking as well. Is your physician or healthcare provider, are they in network or out of network? And the Connect system does give us an easy way to check to see if our providers are in the network or out of the network.
All right. Well, thank you. That is Nibby Priest. He works for, he's an agent for Connect. That's Kentucky State Health Exchange.
Actually, I'm a certified agent. I am a life and health licensed agent. But with the Connect program, they have encouraged and made it mandatory before anybody can sell or advise on the product, you have to go through the training and become Connect certified. And we have, there's several people in Henderson that are Connect certified, that are involved with agencies.
Great. Well, and so just wanted to remind the listeners that if you have questions for Nibby, the number, it's 812-426-7400 or on our Twitter handle at The Trend Talks. And I'm also joined with Jamie from MD Wise, Jamie Bruce. She's the Chief Development and Marketing Officer. Jamie, I just wanted to hear a little bit from you about how the exchanges have affected MD Wise, which is essentially a nonprofit healthcare provider. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, MedWise is a qualified health plan in the federal marketplace, and we are servicing Indiana residents. We have been a health plan established in Indiana since 1995, and primarily taking care of underinsured and uninsured individuals through the Indiana Medicaid program. As far as the federal marketplace, there have been some glitches technologically with folks being able to log on and get some premiums. So we have had some disruption early on.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if someone is covered by other, you know, programs like the Healthy Indiana Plan, so why would they need to look at the exchange?
So the Healthy Indiana Plan program is designed for adults between the ages of 19 and 64. And the federal marketplace, that change in covering folks actually has resulted in those folks that make over 100% of the federal poverty level are no longer qualified for the Healthy Indiana Plan. So they would need to look at the marketplace for coverage. There are several folks that will be potentially losing their coverage starting January 1st if they do not shop on the marketplace.
Okay, great. Thank you. Again, that was Jamie Bruce from MD Wise, based in Indianapolis. If you have questions, our number here, it's 812-426-7400. Please call in with your questions. We're going to take a break.
You're listening to The Trend on 88.3 WNIN FM and online at WNIN.org. Support today comes from the Candleton Foundation, presenting the Candleton Heritage Festival on Saturday, October 12th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in downtown Candleton, Indiana. The festival will feature artisans and craftsmen with hands-on demonstrations, children's activities and workshops, live music, tastings from wineries and microbreweries, and more. Details at 812-549-5954 or at candleton.org.
I'm Cass Harrington, and you're listening to The Trend. We are doing a live conversation on the healthcare exchanges, both in Kentucky and in Indiana. But first, we're going to check back in with WNIN's Rebecca Oates. She has been on her laptop trying to apply for health coverage for the first time. How's it going over there, Rebecca?
Well, apparently the system is currently unavailable. I got
What do you mean?
I got a please wait notification for about 5-10 minutes, and then it kicked me out and said that the system is no longer available. But it gives me an option to try again. So okay. We shall see.
Well, and
Jamie, did you give her an alternative?
Yes. The federal government has put together a new way to shop to at least see the premiums and plans that are available in the area and to give consumers an idea of what might be available. So there is an additional link on the website that you can actually shop. It doesn't require you to establish an account, and that's been one of the problematic things with the federal marketplace is that request to set up an account. So it was really quickly. I actually tried that this morning, and it only took me a couple of minutes, and I was able to pull up all the plans that are available in Vandenberg County. So it is working.
Good. Okay. Well,
you can't enroll, but.
Well, Jamie, Bruce, I wanted to continue talking to you a little more about MDWise, and so the kinds of people you are servicing, helping them get into the marketplace. What kind of things are you doing?
So we focus on kind of the uninsured and the lower income individuals in the state of Indiana. There are about 800,000 people that are eligible for the marketplace in Indiana, and about 700,000 of those folks actually would qualify for assistance on the federal marketplace and paying their premiums or receiving reduced cost sharing. So we are out in the community. We have over 100 events in the month of October where we're going out in the community, going to libraries, going to Work One offices, going to different places where lower income folks are actually at, trying to let them know about the marketplace. There's a lack of awareness that people would be eligible for coverage, whether that might be under Indiana Medicaid program or the federal marketplace. So just trying to increase awareness and make sure that people understand that there are options for coverage.
I wanted to remind the listeners, our phone lines are open. You can call 812-426-7400. We have several experts here in the studio to answer your questions if you're experiencing any glitches like Rebecca on the computer or just about the exchanges in general. And also you can tweet us at The Trend Talks. So Jamie, you know, what about the fact that, you know, this is an online marketplace? Does that pose a challenge to someone who might not have access to a computer or the internet?
There are options to be able to have agents in the field be able to assist somebody if they don't have access to the internet. We can help them with that. There is also a paper application process. So there are ways to go around that. They also can call in and apply over the phone.
Okay. And speaking of phones, we have a caller right now. John is on the phone with a question. Hi, John. Are you there?
One question is, I filled out an application and opened an account. I can't find any way to go from there to the Indiana marketplace. Is that working?
Yes. Who wants to take that question?
I can hear it. I can take that. You can actually, there is a phone number on the federal marketplace that you can call, and they would be able to assist you. With that, you are, if you've gotten past the account build process, then you'll want to go ahead and call them. I can pull up the phone number here for you. The phone number is 800-318-2596, and they can assist you in trying to be able to shop at that point.
Are you still on, John?
Yes.
All right. Did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you for calling, John.
I didn't hear that.
All right, so let's move on to Nibby. We can talk a little bit more about Kentucky's exchange. So I think you said to me earlier you had not anticipated just how many people would be accessing this website. Can you talk a little bit about that, what you were expecting?
Well, I think people have definitely been interested, and as we're experiencing here today, that it's difficult to come in. I will give you some tips. You don't have to use the website. You can come in and see an agent like myself, and there are others that are Connect certified in the Henderson area. You can go to your health department, and they can help you. There are several ways you can call Kentucky Connect, and that number is 855-4-CONNECT. KYNECT is the phone number. They will be glad to talk to you over the phone. You can do a paper application. There's many multiple ways to apply, as Jamie indicated, that they have in Indiana as well.
Great. And so, I mean, what What sorts of things were you required to do when you were getting your certification?
Well, there was some extensive training. We spent many hours going through the online tutorials and learning all about the program. And at the end of the program, we took a test and to become certified. And it gave us all the ins and outs and a lot of the questions that the consumers would be asking. And it is a marketplace. So, you know, there's options out there and people have to make some choices. Some people might not understand what it means to be in network or out of network or what a deductible means and the difference between a health insurance deductible and the deductible that you might have on your home and auto insurance. So sometimes you do need someone that works in the industry, such as an agent, to help you along that way. With the Kentucky Connect program and others, there's more involved than just an agent. There's several people that are called connectors, and connectors can help people with the application
process.
Is that
the same as a navigator?
Navigator or connector is the same, is used synonymous in Kentucky, yes. And the navigators, connectors, they have to be certified as well.
Right. Well, and I wanted to remind the listeners again, our phones are open and live. You can call 812-426-7400. Or again, you can tweet us at The Trend Talks or at WNIN. We got a call in. Someone asked, and I'll pose this to my guests, is a certain income level, can it be too high to prevent coverage?
No, there is no cap on income level. There is a cap on when you might be eligible for premium assistance, and that cap is a little over $94,000 for a family. There's no cap in order to be covered, but there might be a cap depending on whether assistance is available.
Okay, thanks. That's Jamie Bruce from MDWise. And we have a caller on the phone, Rhonda. Are you there, Rhonda? Hello, Rhonda. Are you on the air? All right. I think we're having some kind of technical glitch, but we'll get back to that. So there isn't a cap on your income and getting coverage?
No, you can apply regardless of your income. So if you are in a lower income range, you are going to be eligible for some premium subsidies. And there really is, it is very affordable. There are a lot of reductions in the premium. So there are zero cost plans out there available, depending on your income.
The biggest thing, too, to remember is that we can't deny anyone. Everyone can get coverage. We don't ask about your medical history anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now that some people are enrolled, I mean, there's different phases along with this application process, opening an application, which Rebecca is trying to do right now, and then moving forward and finally submitting that application. Once it's submitted, then what?
Once it's submitted, then the health plans that person has chosen will get that record, and like MedWise, we'll take that application and we'll submit out a bill to the member if they do have a premium, and they can pay that bill. And then if they apply by December 15th and pay their premium by December 31st, they can be covered January 1st. And open enrollment does go through March 31st, but to have coverage on January 1st, which is the first kind of day that you could be covered, you would have to apply by December 15th.
Right. And there's a lot of people rushing now and having issues with the website, as we're seeing here. But there's no really big hurry right now. We do have until December 15th to get this information in.
Mm-hmm. Right now, it just seems to be kind of curiosity. People want to understand what it is.
I think we need to be spending time educating ourselves and asking questions.
And speaking of questions, we actually have one on the line. Who do we have on the phone with us now? Is someone's on the phone? All right, we'll come back to them. So right now people are just kind of experimenting, trying to figure out how the website works. And Rebecca, how is your application going so far?
Well, I went ahead and tried to create my own account a second time while I was using the other account or the other page that Jamie had given me. And it again kicked me out and told me that it couldn't create one, but I'm able to use the other pages and hopefully get something out of it.
Right. Well, thanks, Rebecca. We'll keep checking in with you. For now, we're going to go to a break. But again, if you want to call, ask a question, the number is 812-426-7400. And we're also on Twitter at The Trend Talks.
You're listening to The Trend on 88.3 WNIN FM and online at WNIN.org. Support today comes from Evansville Day School, partnering with parents to offer a student-centered education program for students junior pre-kindergarten through 12th grade. More information at evansvilledayschool.org or at 812-476-3039.
I'm Cass Harrington, and you're listening to The Trend. I'm joined by actually several guests in the studio now. It's a full house. We have Nibby Priest from Connect, that's Kentucky State Health Exchange. And we're also here with Jamie Bruce from MedWise, based in Indianapolis. And we are also joined by Kevin Valadares, who was actually on our first discussion about the health, the Affordable Care Act. He's the director of the Health Administration Program at the University of Southern Indiana. And in the corner, we have Rebecca, who looks a little frustrated. She is applying for health insurance coverage right now. Let's check in with her one more time. How are you doing over there?
Well, I've been able to, like, I've been able to go onto the page that gives me the options of premiums, but it doesn't give you options based on you as a person. So unless you, you can use the other calculator, and then the calculator will tell you, and then you can compare and put the two together. But unless you're able to create an account of your own, it doesn't really give you specific amounts of how much you're going to be paying. And looking at these premiums without my information, they're pretty steep.
Jamie, do you have a diagnosis for her?
I don't know. You can call that phone number for the federal marketplace, and they can try to help, and they can enroll online okay. or over the phone as well.
Well, let's check in with the listeners. I know our phone lines are full right now. Someone is calling in. Let's hear what their question is. Hello? Do you have a question, caller? Nope, another technical glitch. That's okay. Let's keep talking. So, Kevin, we talked a couple weeks ago for the first time about the Affordable Care Act.
Yep.
You described it as a plane taking off, being assembled while it's still in flight.
Correct.
And so here we are in flight. What have we been able to learn that we didn't know just a couple weeks ago before October 1st?
Sure. Well, you know, it's only been,
10 days.
Right, 10 days since the... You know, the marketplace exchanges took off. So it is way too soon, and I know that's been addressed before, to really sort of look at the impact of everything. Because what we certainly have learned is this, as a nation, is this is hugely popular. I don't even know if that's a grammatically correct phrase to use, but individuals were really interested across the country in accessing insurance. So the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is about accessing insurance. And, you know, it's popular. More so than even the folks who were administering the process probably anticipated. Now, in some respects, that's it's a good thing. In some respects, it also means, at least to me, that we've underestimated the need or the demand for this. Overall, you know, we're just 10 days or so into this, so it's probably too soon to tell. My sense is that with most systems, whether it be a state system or the federal system, I mean, it's going to correct itself. Because unlike purchasing something, let's say from Amazon.com or another website, where if you get frustrated because your credit card doesn't go through and you might stop, the idea of stopping and therefore not having insurance is not really a good option for people. And they're not thinking, I think I'll just go through life without insurance. So anyway, we're about 10 days in. Every day is a new adventure.
So in essence, we didn't expect the vast amount of people who would be hitting the website.
Absolutely. And that's not just for curiosity's sake as well. I will share with you that last week I gave a presentation at the North Park Library on the Affordable Care Act. Great questions from the audience that was there. Almost every single one of the folks that were there, about 25, 30 people there, they actually had insurance. Now, their premiums could have been $900, $1,000, $1,200 a month, but they had insurance. Or they were close to Medicare age and they're wondering how this was going to affect them. And so this is not just for folks, obviously, who are completely uninsured right now, but folks who have insurance today, but it's just costing them a lot of money. So exploring the marketplace exchanges, as was already been discussed, is a great option for them. And so they're going to keep trying, as they should, whether it be through the website, whether it be through an organization, whether it be through a phone call, and they should.
Hmm. Nibby, you're nodding your head. Is there something you wanted to add?
Well, that he pointed out is that there are a lot of people that have insurance that are paying, feel like they're paying too much, but they really need to compare their plans, look at their statement of coverages on the Connect or the Marketplace, and compare them to their existing plan, because yes, you might be paying $1,000 a month for insurance, but your copays are lower, your deductible's lower, and you go into a new program for a lower premium, and that might not be equivalent. So you might be better off in some points to stay where you are.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, we're going to continue this conversation, but we have a caller on the line. Bob, are you there on line two? Caller, are you there?
This is not Bob, if you can hear me.
Oh, yes, I can hear you. Who is this?
Okay. My name's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I wanted to get clarification about how the refund of, you know, if they don't spend, is it 80 or 85% of your premium on your actual health care? How does that work? And are people actually keeping this, you know, figured in their calculations of whether it's costing them more up front or in the end?
Jamie, you want to answer that question? 85%?
I can try to answer that question.
Okay.
But the health plans are given a certain amount of dollars, and we built our premium in a way that we are supposed to be spending you know, that premium towards their health coverage. And if we are not spending up to that 85%, then there is supposed to be a refund to consumers. And that is not just in the federal marketplace, but that's actually something that goes across the entire insurance industry. So that was part of the Affordable Care Act, not just specifically towards the federal marketplace, but in the insurance industry overall. And I'm maybe one of our other guests can fill in.
Yeah, so that is an issue that falls under this category called medical loss ratio, which is a category that insurance companies use to essentially decide or to calculate and to measure how much money is spent on care. And of course, everything that's not spent on care, they reap as profits or they use for non-care items. And so certainly it was written into the Affordable Care Act, the 85% number, which was widely popular throughout the entire process. And so that's going into effect as well.
Thank you, Kevin. Lisa, are you still on the air?
I am.
All right. Did that answer your question, or you have another?
Well, kind of. Sure. I guess, is it, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit of feedback, so it's distracting on my end, but is that calculated then across the board? It's not like on an individual basis.
Yeah. Yes, it is calculated across the board.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Lisa?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. All right. Back to Kevin Valadares. He's the director of public health administration at the University of Southern Indiana. It's a long title.
It is a long title, but we like long titles because it confuses people.
That's right. Well, I wanted to talk to you about how, like we said, it's still being put together. Yeah. It's kind of going along in phases. And one thing that hasn't been tacked on is tort reform, but but you think logically perhaps it might come later on?
Yeah, this was a big piece of legislation that went through. Tort reform was brought up. It was not included, so that has to do with malpractice provisions. But states have enacted their own. The state of Indiana has a cap, as an example, on certain provisions. But as a whole, it was not put into the Affordable Care Act. I use this analogy of a plane being built while it's in flight. And so right now, I'm guessing we're putting some of the seats in right now. But 2 years from now, we're going to keep building it. It is a process. That's what healthcare reform is. And absolutely, there needs to be not just tangible discussions, but action about tort reform as a whole, because it puts providers, physicians in particular, but also nurse practitioners in a precarious situation. The first thing, though, is people have to have insurance access, because if they don't have insurance access, they can't access the system. They can't see the doctor. So logically, what might follow is some sort of tort reform after people are in the system, after people are having relationships with their healthcare providers. That's the next logical step. And that should happen. You can't do everything at one time. It's just not politically, legislatively possible, but it's also too much for all of us to swallow.
Logistically, too. I mean, if we see an influx of patients with fewer doctors or more emphasis on primary care,
right.
It seems tort reform would necessarily need to follow.
Right. And so it will in some provisions. And just like a lot of things, states will more than likely take the lead, or there'll be examples from state. The Affordable Care Act was patterned off the state of Massachusetts. And that was a good thing. That was a good example to use, because it's been effective in Massachusetts. And the same thing will happen with other provisions as well.
Well, I just want to let the listeners know again, our phone lines are open. We're taking any and all of your questions. We'll try to answer them as best we can. The number for that is 812-426-7400. Or again, you can tweet us at The Trend Talks or at WNIN. Let's check in on Rebecca Oates. She has been applying for health coverage since we started this conversation nearly 40 minutes ago. How's it going?
Well, I went through again and it kicked me out again, but it said I already had a username created. So I went back to the login screen and tried to use the information I put in as my user, and it's telling me that it doesn't exist. So maybe I've aggravated it now.
More technological glitches, it seems.
Yeah. But Rebecca aggravates a lot of people, so
it's
fine.
It's true.
Hardly. I wanted to go back to Jamie Bruce from MedWise. Does your organization work at all with the Latino population?
We do,
and
yes.
How? Because I know the website, the government health exchange website in Spanish, hasn't been updated yet.
Yeah, it has not. But we do work with the Latinos, and we actually have several bilingual staff that are out in the community and working with those folks that need help. And our call center also can assist people online that speak another language, whether that's Spanish or another language.
We've got a caller. Gary is on the line. Hello, Gary.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. The question I have is, how are these connectors helpful to the individual trying to sign up for healthcare? And I heard that their annual income is averaged out at about $90,000 a year. And so I just wonder what credentials they have and how long they're training. I mean, what is their expertise?
I'll send that over to Nibby Priest.
Well, the connectors basically are not agents. They cannot recommend plans. Basically, what a connector can do is just help someone with the application process and present all the information that's on the website to them, present all the plans to them, but the decision, or they can't lead a individual to a specific or a particular company or a plan. But an agent, however, can recommend a plan or even perhaps a company to an individual. I'm not really sure that I understand your question on the 94,000. Maybe I'll refer that back over to Jamie.
Yeah. In Indiana, we call our assisters in the community navigators. And navigators in Indiana, we have all sorts of folks. They might be folks that work in social services at a hospital. It could be somebody that works in the community at a local health center. And they range all different types of vocations and jobs and income levels. I would say that the average income is not as high as what you're talking about of those folks that are helping. But they are folks that, you know, when you go to the emergency room, it might be somebody there that's greeting you that, that could help you be able to access insurance. They're designed to be, and most of the time, as far as a navigator or a connector in Kentucky, those folks are most often associated with a nonprofit.
And they're getting paid on commission, is that right?
From a navigator or connector perspective, there is no money given to that person to assist in enrollment. In the system, really, the only people that get paid to help somebody would be licensed agents.
Okay.
But the navigators and the connectors are really supposed to be just community folks helping out, making sure that people have coverage and there's no compensation there.
We need to point out that there is no charge for using an agent. The premiums are exactly the same whether you're using an agent or you're doing it on your own or going through a navigator. You do not pay an additional amount of premium to use an agent.
Gary, does that answer your question?
It does. How does one become trained to be a navigator?
If you're in the state of Indiana, you can actually go to the Indiana website at IN.gov. And if you go to the Department of Insurance website, there is some information on becoming an Indiana navigator, and it'll guide you through that process.
And the same thing for Connect as well. There's a whole page for agents and connectors, and it steps you through all the information you need to become a connector.
And my question is, what would be the benefit of going through an agent or versus a connector?
One of the things that of going through an agent is that an agent can help you look at the plans and compare plans to what you presently have and compare it to what Connect can provide you and make an informed decision. The main thing we want to be sure that you're working with someone that you know and trust in your community. Seems like there's lots of advertising going on right now about people, you know, renew your plan now. Lots of ads appearing that are somewhat scaring people to call phone numbers that are out of their community. Go to somebody in your community that has been around doing this type of business for many years, not someone that maybe just has an ad in the paper or has sent you a letter or an email. There's going to be lots of opportunities for people to be frauded, and we need to make an informed decision. I believe that that's going to start with a trusted insurance advisor in your community.
Just to add to that, on that Indiana website or on the federal marketplace, there are also places to go if you do want to talk to a navigator, and they have locations of those people that are registered. So if you are looking for a navigator and don't have a relationship with an agent, those are actually posted as well if you want to know who those people are.
Well, just a reminder, you are listening to The Trend, and we have a live in-studio conversation right now about health insurance exchanges. And if you have a question, you can call 812-426-7400 or tweet us at WNIN.org or at The Trend Talks. And we have a question here. When is the Medicare age reached? I should know that.
When can you apply for Medicare?
That's what it says.
65.
Yeah, that sounds right. But those on Medicare don't necessarily need to take action in terms of the exchange.
No.
Right. So the marketplace exchange does not apply to individuals who are on Medicare, but there's one part of the Affordable Care Act that does affect Medicare beneficiaries, which is sort of this donut hole example. I'm thinking about donut holes because I'm going to the fall festival in about 30 minutes. Sorry about that. But and so that's the Part D prescription drug benefit that's going to be over the next few years closed up. But the marketplace exchanges is not at all geared towards our Medicare beneficiaries.
Or for someone who might hit Medicare in 5 months.
What? Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how that would happen.
But there are, I will point this out, there's, in fact, this has come up in conversations that I've had in presentations. There's a whole host of folks who have, let's say, retired from their job at the age of 62, 63. So they haven't hit Medicare yet. And the marketplace, or their spouse has retired early, and they're still working. And the marketplace is absolutely suitable for one or both, because the individual will still be either uninsured, or they'll have to pay, as an individual person on the open market, a very high amount of premium. So just because you're close, relatively close to Medicare age, doesn't mean you shouldn't investigate the exchanges as well. So there's a lot of folks in this category, I'd say between 60 and 65, because of a variety of reasons, early retirement, all kinds of different things, so it's important to look at.
Great. Well, let's check in with Rebecca. She's gone quiet over here. How are you doing, Rebecca?
I still wasn't able to get into any kind of system, but I did use the subsidy calculator that's on the healthcare.gov website, and it seems that I am at 277% of the poverty level,
okay.
And that gives me, I guess, $2,811 of premiums that I'd have to pay for a year, and then I'm eligible for some discounts. And that's just, I think, a general estimation of what they could give me.
And do you know how that is in terms of what you're on now, like comparably?
Well, I have no idea, because my parents have always done it. So it's definitely interesting and very... I'll be having talks with my parents about the options.
Right. Kevin, what do you have to say about that?
Well, Rebecca brings up a great thing as well, because for individuals in Rebecca's situation and other individuals as well, what this is really about and what we've been talking about today is individuals starting to take responsibility or have those choices. These choices weren't available in terms of looking at the market exchange, or because there was no national market exchange before. But for individuals like Rebecca, or for someone like myself, whose employer really takes care of my health insurance and gives me all the costs and all I do, I don't even do anything, sign a piece of paper, it automatically, magically comes out of my paycheck. What the marketplace exchanges does, or is starting to do for small business individuals, is provide options. Options that weren't there before, but it also means people have to start taking responsible, which is a hard thing to do.
Consciousness as well.
But it is, absolutely. But this is a new language,
mm-hmm.
And so the country is having to learn a new language, and that takes some time.
We'll stop right there. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to take a call from Denise on line 3. But we'll take a break right now, and we'll be right back.
You're with The Trend on 88.3 WNIN FM and online at WNIN.org. Support today comes from Rabin Tire and Auto Service, a proud sponsor of WNIN programming. Rabin offers a selection of tire brands, including Michelin and Goodyear, along with complete auto service and recommended maintenance by trained technicians. Information on the web at RabinTire.com.
Back on The Trend. I'm your host, Cass Harrington, and in the last 5 minutes of your show, we're still wrapping up here on our live conversation about healthcare exchanges, both here in Indiana and in Kentucky, and we have a caller on the line with a question. Denise, are you there?
Yes.
All right. Hi, Denise. What's your question?
Well, my son is getting ready to start looking at the healthcare. Is this healthcare markets exchange or what is this a national thing that you get on and look for, and then can you also just call, say, Blue Cross Blue Shield in the city of Evansville, and they will talk to you about this also? How does this work?
Are you in the state of Indiana, you said? You live in Vandenberg? So the federal marketplace is the Indiana option, and you can either go online at healthcare.gov, which is what Rebecca is trying to do. You can also call the federal marketplace and talk to them as well, and they can enroll people over the phone if you are having problems logging in, and that phone number is 800-318-2596. You can also call health plans that are participating in the federal marketplace, and in Vandenberg County, that would be MedWise, which is the company I represent, and then Anthem as well. So you could also call your plan and get information. Or you could go our website as well at mdwisc.org, and that has our phone number as well and some information. So there's lots of places to go to get information.
And we'll have all of this information on the trends page at wnin.org as well.
The federal marketplace also, if you don't want to talk to somebody and you just want to get some general information, they do have a live chat option, and somebody is there 24/7 and is able to take a lot of questions. So if you don't actually want to get on the phone, online the live chat option does work, and they are able to give you a lot of answers to your questions.
Does that help, Denise?
Yes.
All right. Thanks for calling. All right. Well, we have just a few minutes left in our conversation. If you still have a pressing question, you can call the number. It's 812-426-7400 or on our Twitter at The Trend Talks or at WNIN. Again, we're talking about the health insurance exchanges that have opened just almost 10 days ago. And one point you were finishing up on, Kevin, before we went to a break was this, you know, right now we're kind of in an exploration stage. People are going online. Rebecca's here in the studio just now applying for the first time. And at this point, with the technological glitches, it's just we're figuring it out. But we're becoming more conscious of it. And maybe this will, do you anticipate maybe a cultural change?
This is forcing a cultural change. And this is forcing a cultural change, Cass, that is a little bit uncomfortable because for the most part, individuals who had access to insurance, it was all information was provided to them, literally. And there was not a lot of choices. There's certainly choices with plans, but not too many other choices. This provides lots of different choices. And let's say in a year, someone who lives right here in our community moves to the state of Alabama because of a job, and that job might be with an organization that doesn't provide health insurance. They would have options under the state exchange or the federal marketplace to do the same thing. But so it comes with some responsibility. But like I said before we took the break, this is a new language to learn. Everyone is exposed to the new language. But in a lot of ways, I think it's no different than individuals taking care of their personal financial investments. Certainly 20 years ago, if you had investments, you would rely on a broker, perhaps. Now people are doing things like Quicken and, you know, TurboTax for your taxes. Not everybody, but it's coming more. So responsibility becomes part of this.
All right. Well, before we head out today, let's check on Rebecca one more time. Anything updated?
Not really. I feel I'll get back at it when I can, but I feel like I have a little bit better grasp of what would happen.
All right. Well, thank you for setting up your application on today's show. You've been listening to The Trend. We were joined by Kevin Valadares, the director of the Public Health Administration Program at USI, Nibby Priest, an agent from Connect in Kentucky, and Jamie Bruce, Chief Development and Marketing Officer at MedWise, based in Indianapolis. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you want more information about the guests or programs mentioned on today's show, you can visit The Trend at WNIN.org. Make an appointment to tune in next week for a special Trend conversation about arts funding and economic development. I visited Jasper and Princeton to hear how those towns are investing in projects. And so I'm your host, Cass Harrington. Thank you for tuning in.